Several years ago, when I was visiting the Dominican sisters at St. Cecilia's Mother House in Nashville, Tennessee, I noticed that the sisters have a unique statue of St. Joseph in the convent chapel. In St. Joseph's left hand, he's holding a bird cage containing two pigeons. In his right hand, he's holding a rolled-up scroll of the law, of the Old Testament law. And I recognized the statue immediately as the Saint Joseph of the presentation of our Lord in the temple from today's gospel. However, I have to honestly admit to you what you already know. I'm not always the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. My elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. I'm a few fries short of a happy meal. I'm a half a bubble off plum. And so, in my ignorance, I asked the sisters, why do you have this statue of St. Joseph? Why not the normal statue of St. Joseph with the lily of purity holding the child Jesus, right? Just like the one we have in the sanctuary. That's the way St. Joseph should look. Lily of purity holding the child Jesus. Why, oh why, sister, do you have this strange, weird statue of St. Joseph holding a birdcage and a scroll? You know, the sisters are so polite, so kind and patient. Sister said, oh, Father, Mary and Joseph at the presentation of our Lord in the temple represent the three vows that we take, poverty, chastity, and obedience. And then the light bulb went off in my head. It was an aha moment. Of course, the two pigeons represent the poverty of Mary and Joseph, the offering of poor, humble souls. The scroll of the law represents the obedience of Mary and Joseph, for they present Jesus in the temple in obedience to the law. They fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord. And Mary and Joseph, in their very persons, represent the vow of chastity, for they are both virgins, totally pure in body and soul. So it was obvious to me, one sister told me, that Mary and Joseph at the presentation of our Lord in the temple represent the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And because Mary and Joseph represent these three vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, Pope St. John Paul II, of happy memory, decreed that today, February 2nd, the 40th day of Christmas, would be World Day for Consecrated Religious Life. At this very moment, at St. Thomas More Chapel on the campus of St. Mary's University in Winona, Bishop Barron is having a special mass for all the nuns and sisters, monks and brothers, consecrated virgins and religious order priests living in our diocese who have consecrated themselves to the Lord through the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. These three are known as the evangelical councils, right? The council of Jesus in the Gospels. And there's a hierarchy to these evangelical councils, right? Poverty. I give God all my possessions. He can control the things of my life. Then the next level, chastity. I give God my power to bring forth life. He can be in control of my body. And then obedience, the most difficult of them all. I give God my will. He can be in control of what I want and desire. And it's probably obvious to you that the world doesn't like people living poor, chaste, and obedient. The world says, accumulate as much wealth and possessions as you possibly can. The world says, don't remain a virgin till you're married. Nobody does that anymore. The world says, only do what you want to do. Don't listen to your parents and your teachers and your coaches and your pastor. Do what you want to do. That's what the world says. What a contrast. Those who live the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Sometimes when we think of nuns and sisters, monks and brothers, we think of all the many things they're giving up. But I would encourage you on this World Day for Consecrated Life to think of what they gain. Think about it. They give up possessions and they gain the riches of Christ. He's the pearl beyond all price, the treasure worth selling everything to have. They give up intimacy for intimacy with Jesus, the divine bridegroom. They give up a family to have a new religious family where members of their community are truly brothers and sisters. They give up their stubborn will for the perfect will of the Father, the perfect obedience of His Son. What glorious witnesses the church has in consecrated men and women. Today, the whole church throughout the world honors all the nuns and sisters, monks and brothers, consecrated virgins and religious order priests who take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But the Second Vatican Council says that all Christians are called to live the virtues of poverty, chastity, and obedience in accord with their own state in life. Even though we don't take vows, everyone is still called to live these virtues. A vow is a promise made to God. They do that perpetually in a stable way throughout their whole lives. But everybody's called to these virtues of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and in addition to encourage and support our brothers and sisters to make vows if they are so called. Think for a moment. When was the last time we had a religious sister or brother from our parish? When was the last time? I think, you can correct me after Mass if I'm wrong, but I think it was Sister Anne Immaculate Stiles. I think was the last religious sister to profess those vows perpetually. I think over at St. Joe's, I think it was a Dominican priest was the last one at St. Joe's to profess those vows. More importantly, who will be the next one? Who will be the next young man or woman to consecrate themselves to Christ through the virtues of poverty, the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience? Who will be the next one? I encourage you today to pray for that man and that woman, or those men and those women. Father Jim Starosinich always used to tell me that our parishes here in Owatonna are fertile ground for vocations to the consecrated religious life. Who will be the next one? Pray for those beautiful souls. I know that your sons and daughters, your children and grandchildren, have such a great desire to give themselves in a radical way to Christ. It was almost 30 years ago in 1996, I remember it well, there was a great synod on consecrated life, and then John Paul II wrote a document, Vita Consecrata, on consecrated life. And he addressed parents specifically, and he said, parents, give thanks to the Lord if He's called one of your children to consecrated life. Give thanks to God. It's considered an honor that the Lord should look upon a family member and choose them to set out on the path of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And then, characteristic of John Paul II, he addressed the young people directly. And he said, in his typical way. He says, if you hear the voice of Christ, do not reject it. If you hear the voice of Christ, do not reject it. Readily accept God's plan for you as he invites you to seek holiness in the consecrated religious life. As St. John Paul II said so often, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Being a religious priest, a brother, a monk, a nun, a sister, consecrated virgin, wow! What a glorious life consecrated to Jesus. To all the young people, I repeat what our good friend St. John Paul II said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to respond like Mary and Joseph with poverty, chastity, and obedience.